Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and it's always good to talk to Lisa Newell. She is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News. The edition comes out every Thursday, and we'd like to get a little summary preview of what's coming in the paper. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks so much. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. So last week we got a little bit more trickle of information about what to expect with the Three Mile Bridge reopening. And you guys have a story about how local businesses are reacting to this two-lane news.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure that your listeners are very well aware that they are saying that the bridge is going to reopen in the week of March 22nd, but with some caveats. And one of those caveats is that it will be two lanes in some areas, four lanes in other areas, and it's going to be obviously different. It might be better. It might be shorter of a drive. But, you know, the Garcon Point Bridge is also two lane, so it might alleviate some of that. We don't know whether the tolls will go up on the Garcon Point Bridge once this once the Pensacola Bay Bridge opens, but we are anticipating a lot of traffic in the city of Gulf Breeze, which could be good news for those businesses that have been down there languishing with no through traffic. They have, you know, of course, been dealing with COVID and all the other things that go along with COVID, and the bridge being closed has been devastating. So we got to, check out and ask them what they thought was going to happen, and we got a lot of good, encouraging reactions. Some people are saying, you know what, I'm not sure I believe it, because when I see the aerial pictures, I see that there's still a big gaping hole in the bridge, and I don't see how that could possibly be happening right now. And, of course, other people say, well, spring break would be happening the week of the 15th through the 19th, and this isn't going to help the spring breakers, so they're going to bypass the downtown areas of Gulf Breeze. So it's going to be a challenge, you know, but at least it's some good news. I mean, it's something positive, that we need something positive.
And you and I have talked many times about our expectation of when the bridge would be reopened, and you and I both were pretty skeptical about FDOT hitting that April target, you know, a late March target. If they do, and if there's any traffic, that would be to me a great surprise and an improvement. And even if it's only a trickle is better than zero. You know, and so I kind of
especially
for businesses.
What they'll be doing is going toward the right and not going into Gulf Breeze proper unless they need to go shopping or buy things. And hopefully they will try to visit those merchants and the merchants on Pensacola Beach as well.
Yep.
Because everybody really needs it right now. We really need a shot in the arm.
I know. I don't speak for anybody else, but I know we've talked several times about, hey, you want to go to the beach? Nah, too far around. You know, I mean, so definitely even having something, and as you say, coming after spring break's not good, but, you know, something is better than nothing. You've also got this proposal to have a solar-powered waste station in Gulf Breeze, right?
Right. It's kind of interesting. We haven't gotten it yet, but Ocean Hour, which is a group that, if you've ever had an opportunity to go and volunteer for Ocean Hour, it is really great.
They're
really
wonderful.
Fun.
My son and I
it's
do with them every week.
Yeah, it's great. So I encourage everyone to find out about Ocean Hour and go help them, because they go and pick up trash, beautify our area, get out, get some fresh air, get some exercise, and, actually do a little bit of good, actually do a lot of good. They helped secure a solar panel-powered waste station compactor for the city of Gulf Breeze, and it was made possible by Gulf Breeze Will Do, which is that women's philanthropy.
Yeah.
So they got the grant. Yeah, so that's going to be hopefully arriving within a few weeks. And so it's going to be placed at the south end of the pedestrian walkway that's near the Chappie James Bridge.
Okay.
And it will be situated within the Wayside Park in the future, but not until they are, you know, receive control over that property. So that's good news, too.
We have
some good news.
I love good news.
It's all bad news.
We've also got a story about Midway Fire. Is that right?
Yeah, Midway Fire Department created a new truck company using its ladder truck, and it's going to be on duty and staff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this is called Truck Company 36, It was launched and put in service February the 12th and was used almost immediately. And so it's from a $1 million FEMA grant that's going to fund his salaries for 3 years. So that's something new too. Another positive story, isn't that great?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Hey, I gotta run a crazy wingnut idea past you, just because I know you've been following this story about the audit that got finished back in the fall, and then the hearing that was last week at Tallahassee in front of the auditing committee. One of the recommendations that was not in official, but by the chair of the committee, Baxley had basically said, you know, if you're going to be providing water to people like Tiger Point, you bring up Tiger Point is what got me thinking about this. Maybe you should annex them into the city so that they are both customers and citizens rather than just being customers. What's your read? Do you think there's any interest by the city or by residents of Tiger Point to incorporate, to annex in?
I have heard both. You know, I know that we've spoken to the police department. When they first bought Gulf Breeze, bought the Tiger Point, mm-hmm. the police department, they were all for it. They wanted to take over that area. They wanted to, you know, have more responsibilities. You know, a lot of the reason, I mean, here's one of the reasons I don't think it's going to happen is that we already have City of Gulf Breeze water down there.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have Midway water, but a lot of people already have Gulf Breeze gas and Gulf Breeze water. And so they don't really see a reason, you know, to get that unless it would be to have more representation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see that there is a driving force for it at this point. So, you know, they wouldn't really see an immediate benefit.
Okay, so that's interesting because they're already getting some of the services that would come with municipal incorporation. They may not feel the urgency or the big benefit of acquiring that and then, of course, paying the taxes for it too. So that's interesting. I appreciate that answer. You guys also have Splash, right?
Splash. Yes, spring break is coming. The sun has been out, not today, but the sun has been out. We've had some days that were in the 70s. It's not going to be very far before people are getting out, wanting to buy spring things and yard equipment and go to the beach and go, you know, participate in some of the activities that are all over this area. So we are hoping to let people know what's going on by having Splash.
Outstanding.
You know, last year we did have Splash last March, even though things were beginning to shut down. But, you know, there's still a lot going on, things that you can do. Maybe it's some things that are out of the ordinary for your family. And that's why we need to look and see what we can do. And so we're working on Splash right now. It will be in the March 4th issue of Gulf Breeze News and put out on newsstands all over Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola Beach, Navarre Beach.
Outstanding. Lisa Newell, she is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News. Comes out every Thursday. That's why we like to get a taste of the newspaper before it's actually available on Thursday morning. Lisa, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Andrew.
You bet. 8:17 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
Yeah, and going back to Garcon Point Bridge, going southbound is where we're seeing the most delays. In fact, backed up all the way. Ooh, it appears to be Mary Kitchens Road on Avalon Boulevard. And this whole stretch from Mary Kitchens Road is going to last you all the way until you get into Gulf Breeze, which, by the way, Gulf Breeze Parkway eastbound is delayed, still backed up around the Bell's Winn-Dixie parking lot. Northbound of Garcon Point Bridge also moving at a slow pace. Appears as you are going across the hump is where you're going to be met with these delays, and it's going to continue to stay fairly delayed. A little touch and go on Avalon Boulevard in terms of delays. Should be able to drive just at a little bit slower pace. I-10, I-110, checking in clear. No more delays on 9 Mile Road or Highway 29. Davis Highway, Scenic Highway, all appear to be checking in clear, and I'm not seeing any delays over at the front gate of NES Pensacola. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So we all drive. That means we all have cars. All cars need maintenance, routine maintenance, and sometimes repairs. You know that's the case. And what's the issue? Well, okay, you want to make sure that you get it done right the first time, obviously. But a lot of times you have something odd happens in between those regularly scheduled maintenance, which you should do. Bobby Likes Auto Service, big advocate of the regular maintenance, because that's when you find the sort of larger things before they become larger things. But even so, something goes on and you're like, that's a noise, that's a knock, that's a weird shimmy. I don't know what that is. Where do you take it? You take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway and ask him, hey, Andrew said I can trust you guys. Is this a big deal? Is this a little deal? Is this a now problem? Is this a later problem? And they'll help you understand. Because it's nerve-wracking when you don't know, right? Plus, they specialize in diesel trucks. They specialize in high-end imports. So if you got any of those, take them to a place where you know you can get the service you need. Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. Find out more at carclinicservice.com.
bottom line is simple. The American people should never face shortages in the goods and services they rely on, whether that's their car, or the prescription medicines, or the food at the local grocery store. And remember, the shortages in PPE during the pandemic, that meant we didn't have masks. They didn't have gowns or gloves to protect our frontline healthcare workers.
So Joe Biden, President Biden, yesterday announcing an executive order designed to analyze and then remedy supply chain issues in key things that might be relevant in a crisis situation that we discovered, like, you know, groceries and PPE and, you know, chips. I mean, this is one of the things we're finding out now is that, you know, the chips are not available. Not potato chips, but like computer chips, are not available because they're in short supply, and therefore autos are not being built because they don't have the chips needed to make the autos. I mean, that's just one example of how a shifting of the use of a resource that is relatively scarce because of international supply chains, that's a problem. So he has two elements of this EO. One,
first, it orders a 100-day review of four vital products: semiconductors, one, key minerals and materials like rare earths that are used to make everything from harder steel to airplanes. Three, pharmaceuticals and their ingredients. Four, advanced batteries like the ones used in electric vehicles. There's strong bipartisan support for fast reviews of these four areas because they're essential to protecting and strengthening American competitiveness.
So semiconductors, or chips, rare earth metals, pharmacy, and batteries that we use for all different kinds of things. And then there's a second aspect of it, which is a longer-term review of six key sectors of the economy to oversee things. See, in principle, this seems like a smart thing. That's why he got a bunch of Republicans on board with him in this. So in principle, this is a smart thing. But I will tell you, the one thing that concerns me here, and this is purely like speculative fear at this point, but it kind of goes back to the idea that when, you know, when somebody loves a thing, you kind of trust that what they're doing is, even if it's critical or even if there might be a concern, it's born out of love, so you're not worried about it. You know, like Trump in the military, right? You know, if Trump does a military thing, you figure, you know, he's doing it to help, even if it looks weird. Well, Biden, what I know about him is that though he is not a raging socialist a la Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or something like that, or Kamala Harris, he's almost, he's still pretty prone to socialist thinking. And the one thing I do know is that if you were ever going to move towards a centrally planned economy where you are, you know, benignly or benevolently overseeing manufacturing in the United States and taking over industry, you would start with an analysis, a comprehensive analysis, so that you know what's going on. I don't have a problem with this. I think it's probably going to be a good thing. I certainly think that if the federal government can be in a position to understand where to deploy, for example, emergency authority, a production authority, in order to remedy, that's, these are all good things. But that's my one thought, is the source means I hope we're not moving in that direction. And it would take much more evidence to convince me that we were, but that was my one reaction when I read through the EO yesterday. 8:24 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Federal government launching a nationwide study of COVID patients who had symptoms months after recovering. Study published last week finds about 30% of COVID patients report persistent symptoms for as long as 9 months after being infected. President Biden reversing a freeze on certain visas ordered during the Trump administration. The former president had frozen green cards for new immigrants. Biden revoked that order yesterday. Everything old is new once again.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling.
Kelsey Grammer returning as Dr. Frasier Crane in a reboot of the 90s sitcom Frasier. That show ran for 11 seasons, starting back in 1993, won a total of 37 Emmy Awards. It'll stream on Paramount Plus.
Is that all? Just 37?
Just 37.
I mean, it's like they're barely even trying.
Yeah. 11 seasons, 37.
Mm. It's more than I have.
You don't have any Emmys?
I'm not Andrew
Daytime
Cuomo.
Or primetime?
Yeah, no, none for me. You know, that whole stint that I did in the Mexican soap operas just never paid off for me with any awards. So, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 8:25 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, traffic on the fives.
Yeah, the big delays. what I've been seeing all morning long is that Garcon Point Bridge going southbound is backed up what appears to be Mary Kitchens Road going across the entire span of the bridge into Gulf Breeze. So this is like we're in the afternoon, basically, and people are heading back to Gulf Breeze. This is basically what I'm seeing right now. Going northbound, it's kind of like what we also see in the afternoon. Not as delayed, still some delays as you're trying to go through the toll plaza, but once you get through there, it should check and clear the rest of the way to I-10, I-110, I-110, flowing smoothly. Also, 9 Mile Road checking and clear, and Pine Forest not showing any delays, and also seeing nothing along the front and back gates of NAS Pensacola. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Sometimes I feel a little mad.
So the Supreme Court heard oral arguments this week in a question that I think Mark had actually previewed this for us, but it was over the question of hot pursuit for misdemeanors and whether it allows the police to go into somebody's home. Normally, you have to have a warrant to go into somebody's home, but there are exceptions for that in the law. And of course, you know, you want to have exceptions for when there's an active crime taking place or, you know, forcible felony or something like that, or public danger, you know, kind of obvious cases. Well, the problem is that there is no obvious answer to the question of when yes and when no can police be allowed to go into somebody's home, or when they don't have a warrant, but when they're in some kind of a pursuit. This case had to do with a DUI. And no, it wasn't Bruce Springsteen. sorry. Hey, they dropped the charges on the DUI, but he admitted to what? Drinking in some prohibited park. Good Lord. Anyway, you know, back to the case at hand. So you had a California Highway Patrol officer who had followed a guy who they thought was a DUI. And he pulled up to his house, and the cop got out, and he pulled into his garage, and then he closed the garage door. And the highway patrolman, he stuck his foot out to stop the garage door from coming down, and it went back up. And then he went in and, you know, arrested the guy and tested him for DUI. Well, they tried to get the case thrown out because they thought, well, he didn't have a warrant and he was in his house, and so that's not acceptable. The cop said, I was in hot pursuit of a DUI. So this raises lots of questions. When should and when should they not? And a simple answer you might think would be misdemeanor versus felony. The problem is that in some cases, misdemeanors cover really serious things and felonies cover fairly mild things. That's a very arbitrary distinction. It's hard to say that that squares effectively with what's in the Bill of Rights. So this, I'm just saying, this is a difficult thing to figure out, and that's why it winds up at the Supreme Court. You know, if things were easy, they wouldn't get to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court handles the stuff that nobody else can really figure out. That's kind of the idea. So we'll see how they rule on this, but I think it's fascinating because, for example, specifically with the DUI, which when nobody's actually harmed is a relatively low-level offense, you know, right? Nobody actually gets hurt. But at the same time, the ability to collect the evidence necessary in order to prosecute somebody for it literally goes away rapidly as that person clears the alcohol out of their bloodstream, and so you wouldn't be able to, in time, get a warrant in order to search, right? So it's just a fascinating one. We'll see how the Supreme Court shakes out on this one. 8:30, Mark Jacobs, what do you have coming up in the news, sir?
A new leader for the Santa Rosa Island Authority. That story coming up after Fox News.
You know more because you listen to the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 to 9 a.m. weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Yeah, so we do these frivolous topics. Today's a little bit, I mean, this is almost like a real news segment. So I apologize in advance. That's never my intention, but we're kind of in that vicinity. I was thinking about this with the horrible Tiger Woods crash, about how people keep talking about that little stretch of road as everybody knows it's not safe. Everybody drives too fast. It's difficult to navigate. It's very easy to go wrong. I guess a lot of crashes happen there. And it got me to thinking about that same question in our area. So here's my question for the day, 437-1620. What's that road or intersection here in the Pensacola area, which, I mean, Santa Rosa and Escambia County, what's that area that is really not safe? And what's that area that, and I don't know if I necessarily mean you've seen a lot of accidents there, although I suppose that's true, but just kind of where you don't feel safe when you drive through there or you go through there. 437-1620, 437-1620. Davis, you have one in mind?
Yes. Yes, and it's just now hitting me.
All right.
So as you're leaving Highway 29 going, well, I guess what direction would you be going? Going southbound, but you're wanting to get on I-10 eastbound.
Okay. So the on-ramp of despair, when was the last time you drove it?
A week ago.
Oh, okay, so then continue. Proceed.
Not too long ago. Now, it has improved. It is still really kind of
dramatically better now than it was, say, 3 years ago.
So you're getting on the turn, and it's kind of a sharp turn as you are getting eastbound. You're getting onto eastbound, and as you're making your sharp turn, you have to go at least 45 miles per hour, but you're going through 70 mile an hour traffic, and you're just one white line separated between you going fairly average speed, getting off of a normal state highway, compared to an interstate where people are going minimum 70 miles per hour. So I think even though they did extend the lane to where you can stay in that one lane rather than being forced to merge
over, the
lane
instead of having to get into the 70 mile an hour traffic.
It has improved, but still I'm always a little nervous when I take that roadway because it feels weird.
Yeah.
It's so tight. I'm still in a way in my own brain used to it being
the
way
old
more
way.
Dangerous.
That's right.
And so I always still have nerves whenever I get on over there.
I see that entirely. I just drove that the other day, exactly. And it's one of those, I think what it is you remember how terrifying it used to be, and you still feel that way. I think the part of that one that's tough now is finding the right place to get off to get onto the on-ramp, because everything is so weird on that southbound 29 side now. The one for me, and this is maybe kind of a weird one, and this is not because you are unsafe, it's because you feel unsafe. When you're getting off of I-10 westbound going on to Davis Highway South, and you make that left turn, and there's the median in front of you that you're turning in front of, and there's traffic continuously flowing south on Davis Highway, that's the goal, that always feels unsafe to me. I feel like somebody's going to run right into me. I know they won't rationally, but that's how it feels. 437-1620. So what's your road or your intersection here locally that either is unsafe or just feels unsafe? We also got this discussion about complete streets going to be at the city council tonight, so kind of interesting. Somebody here says Mobile Highway in Klondike. Oh, no doubt. Yeah, that's no doubt. I was I love our audience. Y'all, I can count on you, and I feel like I'm to blame for this. I can count on you for a snarky response. I may have cultivated that expectation. But somebody here texts in 437-1620. The most unsafe road in the Pensacola area is the bridge when it opens back up. Yeah, I don't think anybody can disagree with that. That's, All right, 437-1620, 14th Street at Gregory by Richie's. The lanes don't line up and everybody is turning into each other. Yeah, no, that's not a good place. Somebody here says, and Garson Point Bridge. Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to. Oh, they had previously said a Highway 98 in Santa Rosa. Yeah, so Highway 98 for sure, Garson Point for sure. And by the way, I'm not even bringing up the issue of, is it safe for bicycles or unsafe for, certainly if you include like unsafety caused by pedestrians, I mean, you have to throw Cervantes in. That's what the state's actually working on remedying that right now. I just mean like, I don't know, those places where you're like, this never goes well, almost to the point that you don't want to go to that intersection. I have that feeling about Olive and Davis, that whole area, University, Olive, I'd just rather not go by there if I don't have to. 437-1620. It doesn't happen every day, but it seems like box trucks like to squeeze under the graffiti bridge in spite of the warning. Now, graffiti bridge is kind of a funny one. The merge from W.D. Childers Plaza onto Chase I-10 in front of the Civic Center. Oh, no doubt. Now, there's two problems here. One problem is when you're going west, and you're on, is Gregory's the westbound one? I get
yes, Gregory is westbound.
Anyway, you're going west, and then everybody's always trying to get over to get onto the on-ramp. That's a problem. But the other one is, and I think this is maybe what you're talking about, is when you're going south on 110, and you're coming down the off-ramp, decelerating, merging into regular traffic. First, the deceleration, I always feel like somebody's going to run off the edge there, and people clearly have gone up their side rails. But also, when you got to join other traffic, like if there's other traffic coming across the street proper, and you got to get over to turn right on 9th or something like that, I mean, that's just that mixing of traffic right there at the bottom of the down ramp is crazy. 437-1620, somebody says Quintet Road. Oh, no, no disagreement. No disagreement about that. Backing out of the Jay's Bakery on 12th Avenue, onto 12th Avenue.
Yes.
All right. Because
you're backing up into an active road.
All right.
It's such a narrow parking lot that I completely see where they're coming from.
I'm always amazed by people who have a house on, like, Creighton, you know, and you're in your driveway and you get up. Oh, no, no. No, thank you. Highway 297A at night. Okay, well, that's the county. I mean, that's just, like, anywhere in the county at night, because we just don't have enough street lighting, right? 437. Oh, somebody here texted my answer. Davis Highway and Olive Road. 437-1620. What's that unsafe intersection or unsafe street? You know, I was thinking about the Tiger Woods story and how we all have those places where we know it's unsafe. This is one I don't particularly think it's unsafe, but it's definitely all wrong. And that's the Brent Lane overpass by Pensacola Christian College. Because it's like 35 miles an hour in there, and everybody goes 50. I mean, and then you're on the down ramp, like everybody's going too fast. I mean, I don't. Obviously, I obey the speed limit. I am a good Christian. 437-1620, 437-1620, I-10. Going on to I-10 when wet. Oh, yeah, all of that stuff is just a mess. And I'll tell you, we have some uniquely dysfunctionally designed intersections in this area. I mean, things you just, it's kind of like you'd never see the adults make. That's what I think of, you know, the traffic engineers that were adults would never make that. But we have them because it's like adaptation to misdesign to adaptation to mistrack. Anyway, so, Davis, you look like you had one more to throw in there.
There is one more I wanted to throw in here, but you won't see this more often now. And it's because Three Mile Bridge is out, so people aren't going westbound as much on Gulf Breeze Parkway.
Right.
But I'm very familiar with Bayfront Road. Or I think it's Bayfront Drive. It's where the old IHOP used to be, in that road down there. I family all down there. But when traffic was more active, and because there's no light at that intersection, there used to be wrecks there all the time because, you know, people, heavy traffic coming through, people trying to get daring, and sometimes an accident occurs. And so that used to be more of a problem, not so much now.
Very good. And then somebody, our very last text in is the sort of the, I would call it the obvious candidate, but 9th, Tippin, 12th. You know, Langley, Devil's Triangle, we all agree. 8:46, Davis Allen, time for traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and speaking of Gulf Breeze, actually, when I mentioned that, we do still have delays going across the Garcon Point Bridge. It's still backed up, not as far as Garcon Point Road, but as you are approaching the toll plazas where I'm seeing these delays, and they're going to continue as you're going across southbound Garcon Point Bridge. Northbound is delayed, backed up, starting over where the toll plaza is, but once you get through on Avalon Boulevard, it is checking and clear. I'm noticing some delays along Scenic Highway going northbound. This is stretching from the area where it's really stretching from Creighton on down to Langley, it appears, where these delays are happening. And I had reported earlier on Cervantes Street that there may have been an accident along there by the Coffee Cup, and I am seeing east and westbound delays in that area, and we have reached out to PPD to receive confirmation, and as soon as we get an update, we'll be sure to let you know. In the meantime, though, I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So we all drive, right? And at a certain point, you don't love what you drive anymore, and so it's time to get a new thing that you can drive. But what happens is, over time, you always are making this choice, right? It starts to annoys you a little bit more, costs a little bit more, right? And you have to wind up making that decision. Well, is it worth keeping? Well, this is why you go to Frontier Motors. Because here's what happens. You go there and you try some stuff. And you find out that, you know, you don't have to hate your car. You can actually enjoy your car. It doesn't have to be something that you endure on that hour, hour and a half when you're working around through Garcon Point every day. So you go there, and what you might find, now I can't promise this because I don't know the particulars of your vehicles, but when a vehicle gets old enough, now you're starting to put in repairs like every year, $500 and then $1,000 and then $1,500 and then back to $500. You know how this works. So you have to make a choice. Do you keep putting bad money into a bad car, or do you put a little bit more in a payment into a good car that you're going to like, that's going to probably get you better gas mileage and certainly not cost you as much in repairs? That's what Frontier Motors can do for you. Go by, see what they've got. Tell them Andrew McKay sent you. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. You know how sometimes a thing isn't always a thing? you know, it's the thing that hints at the other thing that really gets you in trouble. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but you know what I mean. NBC is experiencing this week. See, NBC, they had the Saturday Night Live joke about vaccination with the Jews in Israel. And Michael Che, here's the joke that he did on Saturday Night Live. And I told you before, and I'll tell you again, I don't particularly have a problem with the joke. The joke is based on a fact error, but, you know, I think comedy is certainly supposed to be and often is going to run afoul of political correct guidelines. It doesn't bother me, okay? It doesn't bother me. But here's his joke.
Israel is reporting that they vaccinated half of their population. And I'm going to guess it's the Jewish half.
A popular new hashtag.
And he can't go, like, even Colin Jost can't just totally go on. Okay, it's not that funny of a joke. It's not that good of a joke. It's based on a fact error, but whatever. So the Anti-Defamation League was not happy and raised a stink. And there's been some talk about even protesting against Saturday Night Live this coming week for the perception of anti-Semitism. I mean, my view is you got to be able to make fun of everybody. And when we can all make fun of everybody equally, that's when we have harmony, oddly. But then they had a nurses episode. Now, I have not watched this show. I'm not much into medical dramas. But this was a show that's, I guess, like a seventh or eighth episode, something like this. And in the show Nurses, they had a scene. And the basic premise of all this is that you had a, and terms here vary. Okay, Hasidic is not the same as ultra-Orthodox, is not the same as Haredic, but we're talking about a certain kind of Jew who is wearing the curl locks and, you know, very devoted to simple life. It's almost like the Amish within Judaism. It's not quite accurate, but you know who I'm talking about, okay? The Jews in Israel more often refer to them as the ultra-Orthodox, but nobody who's in the group likes any of these terms, but you get who I'm referring to. So he has had some serious injury. I think it was a leg injury, if I'm not mistaken. He's a basketball player, and he's a, you know, ultra-Orthodox or Hasidic Jew here in the United States. And he's getting ready to have a bone graft of some kind. And the doctors are explaining this to him. And here, you'll kind of see how this goes. With I guess dad was in the scene as well.
Ooh, the graft, where does it come from?
It's called an allobone graft. It's harvested from a deceased donor.
You want to put a dead leg inside of me?
Dead goyim leg. From anyone. An Arab? A woman?
Or God forbid, an Arab woman.
Oh, boy. So now you have the ultra-Orthodox Jew being upset that you're going to have a goyim leg bone, or you're going to have a woman or an Arab, or God forbid, an Arab woman. That's the one of the nurses on the show responding. Like, she's pointing out their racism. And then this is the follow-up comment.
Look, you can't be lugging this metal cage around.
No, I don't consent.
Israel, without this next step, you will never walk properly again.
Which means forget about basketball.
Which is obviously what he wants.
What God wants is the implication.
It's God who heals what he creates.
So now you have a guy named Israel who is being portrayed as a bigot, who is anti-woman, anti-Arab, doesn't want to share body parts from them that might have died. So there was a bit of a concern about this scene, and NBC pulled the entire episode and never aired it. So, on its own, maybe not, but after the SNL thing, you know. So, 8:54 on News Radio. It's sometimes you wonder, like, how things get past the whole series of checkpoints that would keep a dumb thing from getting on the air. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of checkpoints on what I say. So if I say a dumb thing, I'll tell you it's a dumb thing. And there's not a lot of, you know, but when you're producing a major network television show, there's a lot of hoops that has to go through before it gets on the air. In this case, should have been a few more hoops. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, according to the L.A. County Sheriff's Office, they say Tiger Woods was not intoxicated during Tuesday's rollover crash. They called it purely an accident. So with that, they are not going to be pursuing any charges against the superstar golfer. According to his Twitter account, they said that he is awake, responsive, and he is recovering currently in the hospital. Also, the NBA, they're set to release their second half schedule. The All-Star game coming up in Atlanta is on March 7th, here very soon. Chicago White Sox first baseman Jose Abreu, reigning MVP in the American League, tested positive for COVID-19. He is asymptomatic, though, says he's feeling great, believes he probably had it at some point last month, which is why he has such a mild case right now. now. So he's quarantining, should be joining spring training here in the next couple of weeks. And it's possible that Tom Brady could sign an extension with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their general manager, Jason Light, says he is certainly open for it. Brady, who is currently 43, has 1 year left on his contract and says he wants to play till at least 45. And now rolling this from traffic on or sports into traffic. We do still have delay on Garcon Point Bridge. It's throughout the entire length of the bridge southbound. It's backed up nearly to Garcon Point Road. So just, you know, if you're familiar with how the afternoon traffic works going back into Gulf Breeze, think of it this way. It's certainly delayed. And as a follow-up to what happened on Cervantes, there was a bicyclist that was struck by a vehicle, but minor delays or minor injuries, I should say, reported. And I'm actually not really seeing many delays in that area now. So some good news there that no one was seriously hurt. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, I've got four tickets to go see the women play basketball at the inaugural Sun Belt Conference here in Pensacola. I mean, they've had the conference, but it's inaugural for us. This is session two on March 5th. So next week, four tickets. You can go if you're calling number three right now, 437-1620, 437-1620. .58 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Future news. We've been talking about this all day. Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. We've been talking about this a lot. The gun buyback or the gun buy program. Are they going to approve it tonight? Are we going to actually have this? Is it going to be effective?
They are going to approve it. No, I don't think it's going to be effective at all.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen, and we're going to buy a couple of guns, and they're going to be marginally functioning. Oh, somebody texted earlier and asked, do they have to be working? Yes, they have to be functioning. The complete streets is another thing that's going to be on the city council agenda tonight. Are we going to go to having a requirement that, but for the exceptions, we have a complete streets mandate?
Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, somebody texted me earlier and said the cost of that is not quite as much as I think it is because they usually operate within the existing road footprints. That's good to know. I'm always learning stuff. Santa Rosa Island Authority, new executive director. Will we enter a new age of the digital era of transparency? Will they finally put their meetings live streamed like on YouTube or something like that?
I don't think so. Not right now.
I just hope yes. I love all these people. I hate to see Paolo go, but I want to be able to watch these meetings, but I'm just not driving out to the beach to watch them. Will we have... will Bruce Springsteen suffer any real consequences as a result of this thing?
No.
I mean, he's off the Jeep ads, right? That's all?
That's it.
And that's probably all there will be. Thanks for listening. Jenna's up next.